Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have another great guest on. I've not talked about this before on the show, so I'm anxious to talk with her. Her name is Nicole. She has written a book called Practical Crystal Healing. She is also the founder of Healing Art Forms Institute. So, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Thank you so much, Nancy, for having me tonight.
You're very welcome. What I'd like to do before we talk about your book, Nicole, talk a little bit about you, because you were a natural-born psychic. And so a lot of people have a tendency to go, oh, well, what's a natural-born psychic? You mean you weren't trained? So can you explain that to the listeners, please?
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest questions that I get. It's how did you develop your abilities? How do you know that you were a natural-born psychic? And how did everything come about? When I was a kid, everything, for most of my abilities, they were mostly clairaudient. Now, a lot of people are, well, how did you know, it was really your spirit guides coming through? How did you know you were really communicating with it? And it wasn't just, you know, imaginary friends or, you know, big-time creative imagination as a child. And I said, well, a lot of the stuff that came through when I was growing up, I had no way of knowing. I had no way of even being able to conceive of some of these concepts. And I grew up in a very strict religious home. I had a Catholic father and a Lutheran mother. So between the two, this was not a very welcomed area in our life. So that was a little hard growing up. I'm also an adult indigo. So between all of that, it was a real groundbreaking opportunity in my own personal family. And a lot of the information came through. Like I said, my strongest abilities were clairaudient when I was growing up. And a lot of the information just came through. That way I would know things. I would see things once in a while in dreams and in visions. But most of the stuff came through with messages. And I would tell my parents. I would tell, you know, of course, friends and family. And most of them, oh, they blew it off as, you know, I was just a child being a child and I was creative. And but until a lot of people started noticing, especially a few of my mentors in my life, started noticing that the things that I was talking about were actually happening. The things that I was talking about, I actually knew information that a normal child would not know, or actually I don't really like the word normal, more of a balanced child would know. And it all really grew from there. And if I didn't really listen to my own spirit guides or the mentors in my life, I don't think I'd be in the place that I am right now.
It's probably true. A lot of people that I interview who are psychic, they usually come from a family, and nothing against the religious sector, but a very religious family. And it's almost like, okay, you're put in this family to help them understand that there's a different way. And you are given help in order to figure out how to do that and how to approach people. But a lot of the people I talk to that are psychic, that's how they have grown up. And sometimes it's very hard because sometimes they're not, you know, they're not accepted. Sometimes they're told that they're, it is crazy, just don't talk about it, you know, shut it down, you can't do that. So sometimes it's very, very hard on people growing up. The children of today, you mentioned indigo children, and indigo children have been here for a very long time, and I don't really think people know that, but they have. You know, so now we have the indigos, the crystals, and the rainbows. So while you were growing up, this is going to be a good one, because I grew up being very protected. I didn't get to tell anybody anything until I was a little bit older. But while you were growing up and you started telling people what you were seeing, did they finally start recognizing? I know you just said, you know, they started to see it happen, but did they really start to pay attention after they saw it happening? Or did they still have some of their skepticism, like, well, maybe she's just got good guessing going on, or she's just real creative? So how did that go?
Well, to be honest, most of my family to this day still doesn't believe the abilities that I have. a lot of them, they still, like, they're very old school. They're very set in their ways. And a lot of them still just say, well, she's lucky. She's good. She's just lucky and, you know, she's got luck on her side, you know. And I said, no, that's not really it. If I, you know, a lot of them, they'll sit there and they'll joke with me and say, well, you know, do you have the winning lottery numbers? And I'm like, okay, no, it's a little silly, but no, I don't. If I did, I'd be a millionaire by now. But that's not even really the concept. A lot of them, still, they just really didn't even believe it. Now, the mentors in my life, those were much easier for them to understand. They were on that little cusp of, okay, I'm not quite sure, but I'm still open to this, and I'm still open to, okay, I know there's a possibility out there. And once those people started opening up, started understanding, and their awareness grew, things with them really blossomed. Now, you know, you have the people that are still very, it can happen, it has to be this way, there's a right, there's a wrong, there's no gray, there's no middle ground. And those people, they're just not as awake, they're not as aware, they're not as enlightened about things that are changing on the planet, that are coming, whether it's from previous generations or even the children that are coming into the world today. And a lot of them, you know, eventually they're going to become more aware. Take small baby steps for a lot of them to get there, but once they hit that plateau and they're ready to make that next leap, they'll be there with us too.
Which I think is real important, especially for the children today who come here very enlightened and have a great sense of knowing that the parents kind of accept it and listen to them, but it's hard for a lot of parents to do that because, you know, a lot of parents, like you said, they're still kind of old school, even in today's world. You know, so a lot of these children, I think, have a really hard time trying to figure out who they really are or if they're just crazy or strange or weird. And I think it's very important that children are not, you know, given that kind of an idea because they are very, very enlightened little folks here. And I think they're here to teach us a lot. And unfortunately, a lot of people still are not quite ready for the younger ones to teach the older ones, but they'll get there. Now, the school, the institute that you found, the Healing Art mm-hmm. Forms, tell the listeners mm-hmm. a little bit about that because you actually do certifications. So talk about the classes and how it works.
The classes, well, Healing Art Forms Institute started back in 2000 with a passion of mine where I told my husband I wanted to help other people other than, of course, my family and friends and, you know, people locally. And I started, you know, reaching out to other people with energy attunements. It all started out with a basic, you know, knowledge of trying to open up a little bit more awareness. And that eventually grew into teaching programs because a lot of people would they'd want to know about different energy work, different forms, different vibrations. And they're like, well, do you know anything about angels? And I'd say, absolutely, what do you want to know? And they'd want to know about how to, you know, develop their own intuition or how to, you know, work with children and energy and how to do, you know, spiritual type of stuff. And I'd say, well, I had all of this knowledge. I said, I need to expand this a lot. And my husband said, well, let's check into your own web school. And we ended up developing it into a web school and a healing center. And there's two main reasons for that. We have the specific area on there for the accredited programs and even the degree programs on there to help people that actually want to learn on their own. And a lot of people come and say, well, I love the work that you do, but I want to know how to do it on my own, for my own benefit or for my friends, my family, or to even teach others. And then we have the opposite side with the Healing Center where the people, they're just kind of getting into this. They're just starting to get a little more aware. They want to know stuff. They want to know what they can do or what they can have done for them. But they're not really at that point in their life where they want to learn yet. They want someone else to do it for them. And they want someone else to help with the issues in their life on an energy frequency. And the accredited programs, they're wonderful. We have ones on there from angels all the way through, like, spiritual releasement. Now, each of the programs on there, they're all accredited from, we have the International Natural Healers Association and the World Metaphysical Association. Both of the associations have given me lifetime membership, honorary memberships for the work that I do. And they're great organizations. And a lot of the programs, even some of the ones like our Holistic Health Practitioner and our degree programs, we even offer free membership through those organizations for them for a month to even get them started with their own business and their own way of helping and reaching out to others too. And our main goal is not only to just teach one person, but to reach out. I said that probably quite a bit today. But that is one of our main purposes, is we want to make a difference, and we want to bring the whole global energy frequency and vibration up so that more people are learning about this. And I said we have angel communication, we have animal communication, we have astral cord work, we have chakras and auras and meridian work and crystal work. And one of the big programs I love, I developed my own, was the children's energetic therapist. I have two kids of my own who are both very gifted, and a lot of people don't really understand. You mentioned working with kids before. they don't understand really how to even approach the kids with this type of work and understanding what really is a kid's imagination or really how to help them or how to, you know, make sure they not don't cross that border of I'm leading the child but actually helping the child understand the abilities that they do have. And all of the programs on the web school I created, they all have manuals, they all have guided audios, they all have energy form work with them, they all have case studies, and they're really a very user-friendly type of program. And they're all self-paced, and I really enjoy that because with a lot of people's lifestyle today, it's so hectic and it's so hurried up and going everywhere that they need something that fits into their own lifestyle that they can do at their convenience so that they can slow their own life down where they can learn.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is real important to slow their life down because a lot of people are just so totally stressed and so kind of off-balance themselves. They really need to kind of get that harmony back. Now, Nicole, could you give out your website for the listeners so that they can find you?
Absolutely. It's www.healingartforms.com.
And when they go there, because I already looked at there's all the classes there that they want. There's one class I find kind of interesting and intriguing, and I like to explain it. It's called Karmic Matrix Removal. So What class is that, and how does it work?
Now, the Karmic Matrix Removal is actually under the Healings and Blessings area. Now, there is a Karma Healing Therapist program that also teaches about the Karmic Matrix Removal. Now, the Karmic Matrix Removal is actually a surgery that's performed more on an energy level. That removes, the Karmic Matrix is wrapped around the entire physical spine, and it's a genetic coding that is around there that holds all of the attributes from your family ancestry. So if your family ancestry has a lot of built-up bad karma, you're going to end up carrying that and pulling that through from all your ancestral lines into your own life now. And for a removal of that, it's done, of course, it can be done distantly, which 99.9% of our work is done. And we go in with an energy type of surgery to remove and unwrap all of that, which then leaves like a hollow core going around your entire spine. Then that whole area is then healed, and then that whole area is sent with an energy universal healing to fill all of that up so there's no void left in there. And then after the surgery is done, of course, a disconnection is completed, and then a whole protection barrier is placed around to help all of the energy integrate for anywhere from 14 to 30 days, depending on how much damage was done.
And is it a permanent one, or does it have to be done, you know?
It's a permanent one. This one reaches deep to the soul level, deep to the core level. It's one of those sessions that's a one-time session. You don't have to have them repeated. You know, with a lot of people say, well, how many times do I have to have it completely done? I said, it's not like your chakras. It's not like your auras, which can be repeatedly damaged. Once the session is done and once it's healed, everything is there and it will not be repeated.
Yes, that's a good thing. Because
mm-hmm.
that gives people hope.
Yes, it does, because they'll come back and say, well, what if I get more karma now? The karma that they're creating in their life now, that's a completely different area. A karmic matrix works on the family ancestry line that's wrapped into your genetic coding around your spine. The karma they're creating now, well, if they keep doing more bad things and negative things, they're going to keep, of course, creating that own karma. So that they have to kind of take a little responsibility in their own life for. Unfortunately, you know, we can't control our ancestors and what they did. So it's not, you know, I don't really feel it's our responsibility to carry around all of their energetic debris there.
No, it gets a little heavy down the road if it keeps going on and on. How does the color and light therapy help with people?
How does the color and light therapy help with people?
Mm-hmm.
The different colors will end up bringing your vibrational frequency up. Now, especially with a lot of people that have seasonal affective disorder, and they need the light, especially when you're surrounded with darkness all the time, it gets dreary, it gets doom, and you have those feelings, and that's just not a positive way to feel. you need to boost those energies. A lot of people, you know, they joke that St. Patrick's Day, everybody's, you know, I got to wear green. Actually, green's a really good color. Green brings in happiness. Green brings also vibrational frequencies for money in. And that's a lot of people joke, you know, that they're always happy around then. They say, oh, it's we're out, you know, having a good time and we're out with our friends. And no, check the color that you're wearing. It's not always about what you're doing. Color plays a big, important role into people's lives. A lot of times people just overlook the colors that they are picking and they are wearing.
Do you think the color and light therapy helps the children of today?
Absolutely. I have two kids of my own. One just turned 10, and the other one's going to turn 9 in a few weeks. And we go out with color therapy, and they do it anywhere, especially they have their rooms done, and they pick out their own clothes. And it's a big thing that I said, we're not having black all over the place. We're not having gray. And, you know, of course you have to have some shades, you know, to give depth and perception. And I said, but you need more positive colors. Now, when I see kids that are wearing, a lot of times they'll wear red. Now, my kids get very hyper when they're wearing red. My kids, when they see a lot of red things or they're interacting, they get very hyper. They have a lot of excitement. They have a lot of anxiety with these colors. When I put them in more subtle colors and around other colors, you know, that bring down their energies a little bit so they're more balanced with, you know, light blues and pastels and purples, they're much more calm. They're much more in tune with things. They have a more whole feeling about them as opposed to hotter colors with red and stuff. White, absolutely. I'm a big fan of white.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very pure energy deal with it, and I'm a very big fan, and I tell my kids, you want to wear white, you want to do anything with white, you want to have white surrounding you, I'm very, very happy.
Yeah, it's really funny. I actually moved from Chicago to New Mexico to open a school called the School of Now for children like what mm-hmm. we're talking about, and it's
mm-hmm.
actually for kindergarten through high school, and it's a live-in school and a day school both. So it's a way for the children to actually really be who they are, using a lot of the techniques that you're talking about, you know, with what you do, but working with the children so they can actually be their individual person that they should be and kind of know who they are. You know, so it should be kind of interesting. I just got the land donated, so I'm all excited about that. Now it's finding
wow.
the funding to build the school. So it's kind of interesting. You know, so I'm actually very thrilled with what's gone on so far because I've only been in New Mexico not even quite a year yet. And a lot of good things have happened, so I'm really looking forward to the rest of it. Oh, yeah, it really is. Now, let's talk a little bit about the book, Practical Crystal
yeah.
Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques. That's a pretty good title.
I thought so.
Why did you decide to write a book about crystal healing?
To be honest, it wasn't my first choice in my book. It really mm-hmm. wasn't. I was working on a book about Reiki, and as you can see, even if you look on Amazon.com, you look on Barnes & Noble, even you go to the stores, whether you look for Reiki, you look for crystal healing, you look for any of the things, there's so many books out there. And a lot of my clients will come up and they'll want more information, and I'll refer them to this book or that book. And I told my husband, I said, I want to write a book. It's about time. I have all of this. I want to write a book. And he said, okay. I said, I'm going to write a Reiki book. And I sat down and I got about 2 chapters done, and then I hit a brick wall and I said, okay, this isn't working. And I said, I want to meditate on this some more. He said, okay. And I worked with my spirit guides, and I have a very big passion for children and animals, and I love my crystals. And for some reason, it didn't click for a long time. And I told my husband, I said, I want to write a children's book about dealing with energy and healings and everything. And he said, okay. And I sat down and I got about another 2 chapters done, and I said, okay, that's not working. And I sat down in a really long meditation session. I said, I need help with this. I said, what am I supposed to write about? And not much came through, to be honest, and I sat down. I was very frustrated. And by nature, I'm not a writer at heart. Mine is with a healing gift, but I wanted to get out there and help people in more ways than just with the website and the web school and everything. And I said, there's got to be a way. And I started getting flooded with all of these emails, and everybody was asking for crystal tips. And I was like, okay, that's odd. And I didn't take the hint. And my kids started getting into, of course, my crystal collections. And, Mom, what's this about? And I'm like, okay, this is unusual. And I'm like, for some reason, I wasn't paying attention to the signs. Sat down in meditation, and my spirit guides came around. They're like, you need to write a crystal book. You didn't pay attention. And I'm like, light bulb went off. I'm like, okay, got that. And I love tip books. That is just a big thing for me. I love tip books. And I have tons of them. And I said, oh, wait a minute. I know all the stuff about crystals. I've been doing crystal work since I was 18 years old, and I have all of this information. And I pulled out all of my own crystal books, and I said, none of these books explain any of this. And I said, looking through it, I'm going, oh, they got great pictures. I love the pictures in crystal books. And I was flipping through, I'm like, okay, they have, you know, it'll pull up a rose quartz and it'll list, you know, 20 attributes. So I said, but what if you combined it with these other things? And I had journals upon journals. I have stacks of them. And when I started doing crystal healings when I was younger, I wanted to know what was the best way to help people. And not every single crystal can work for every single person. And I'd put them on, and I'd say, okay, this isn't working, and do this, and this one's not working, and we'll try a combination of these two until I hit on one that, for the majority of people, it worked for. And I kept track of them all. And I said, I already have all of my tips. I said, I already have this. I said, my book is pretty much written already. I said, I just didn't see it until, you know, my spirit guide kind of knocked me over the head a little bit there. And I said, I got it now. So I sat down. I said, well, it was the first book that I'd written. And I was blown out of the water. I said, what am I even going to start with this? My spirit guides kept showing me fives everywhere. I'm like, okay, I know what fives mean. It's a major life change coming up. I'm like, don't get it. And so literally I went to another meditation, like, that's part of your title of your book, do 555. I'm like, oh, okay. Another, you know, I really wasn't paying attention to the signs at that time. And I sat down, and literally out of about a couple months, everything kind of came together for the first book. And then after that, a lot of other people started emailing me, and they were like, well, do you have any tips for animals? And I said, yeah, piles of them, stacks here. And they're like, we only included a few in your book. And I said, oh, okay. And what we're doing now is we're turning this into a whole series where we're going to come out with Practical Crystal Healing 555 Tips for Animal Companions. Will be released soon. And we're going to have one for pregnancy and early childhood years. We're also going to have one for teenage years. And we're also going to have one for marital issues, couple issues as well. And everything is all in tip format, so it's very easy. It's very accessible for the beginners all the way through the advanced, with people that, oh, okay, I've done crystal healing, but I've never worked on that particular issue, but I have a client that needs my help. So we've tried to make it friendly for the whole range of people.
Which I think is real important. A lot of people will go to rock and gem stores, and they will just pick up any old crystal, and then they'll think, okay, well, what's this for? And the person selling it will tell them what it's for, and they go, oh, this is cool. They don't really know why they picked it to begin with. They don't know how to do anything with it once they get it home. So your book was pretty interesting because it talks about how, one, to choose a crystal. So without giving your whole book away, okay, I'm going to ask you some questions because I want people to get your book. But just for example, if somebody walks into a rock and gem store and they don't really know what they're looking for, what would be one good tip that you could give them why they may be in that store?
That they're already listening to their intuition. That's the biggest one that I get asked in the seminars. Is how do I know that I'm following my intuition? I said, well, A, if you're already at the store and you're not really quite sure why, it's probably because you were guided there for some reason, whether it's you believe it's your higher self or your spirit guides or, you know, your gut feeling, however you want to interpret that. I think the biggest one, a lot of people will pick up a crystal, and they'll see, like, you go into the rock stores and everything, you know, little tubs of crystals all over the place. You know, it's about a dozen crystals, you know, half dozen and a half, and they stick their hand in, and I've seen them do it a lot. They'll stick their hand in, they'll pick up a crystal, they'll look at it, and then they'll put it back down. And then they'll stick their hand in again, and they'll pick it up, and they'll look at it, and they'll put it back down. And they'll look. I asked one person when they were doing it, I said, what are you looking for? And they said, well, I'm looking to see if it's pretty. I said, okay, but they all kind of look the same. And they were actually looking at emeralds and little tiny ones. And I said, but they all look, I mean, a variation of green. I said, but they all look the same. And lady came up and she said, well, I kind of like the light green ones, but there's not one I'm really falling in love with. She goes, but I, for some reason, like that dark green one. And I'm like, you know why? And she's like, no. And I said, well, you're listening. I explained to her, you're listening to your intuition. I said, a lot of times though, people, they'll go in and they'll ask, you know, either the store owner, well, I want to, you know, work on love issues, or I want to work on money, or I want to work on something. And of course, you know, there's 50 stones out there that can work for any particular issue, but they're not always going to work for that particular person. And if the person doesn't know that, they're just going to pick up one and it might feel right, it might not. But I've seen ones, they'll pick it up and they'll put it down, they'll pick it up and they'll put it down. And there's, with our palm chakras, there's a an energy point in the center of our hand. And the crystals have a vibrational frequency as well, and a lot of times, especially if you go into a store and you're in a very good mood, you always want to go in and pick out your crystals when you're in a good mood. You don't want to draw in any negative vibrations when you're picking out your crystals. And you go in there, and the vibrations from your hand and your crystals will bounce off, or they'll attract to each other. That's why a lot of people, they'll pick one up, and they won't put it back down. And they'll carry it throughout the store like, I think I'm supposed to buy this, but I don't know if I'm supposed to buy it, but I haven't put it back down. It's magnetized to their hand. That's a really good vibrational fit. A lot of times they just don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. There's also a part that people don't understand is once they pick their crystal and they take it home, it needs to be cleansed.
Correct.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of times, like I explained, you'll have all of these people going in a store. You may not see them, but depending on where the store is and how busy the store, there could be, you know, a lot of people going in there and picking up that same stone and putting it down. You just don't see it. What happens is your own energy imprint is going to imprint with on that crystal's energy. And you're picking up a stone that maybe 5 people, 10 people, 50 people have already handled. Now, they're going to have all of that energy from that, all those 50 people in there, not to mention all the energy that's held within that store, within the store owners, if they've handled those crystals, you know, where those crystals came from, if they've been sitting in a warehouse, if they've been shipped from the other part of the world, we have no idea where they've been. And they're holding all of that energetic debris within its own vibrational frequency. And the last thing that they want to do is after they take this crystal and they've really been sitting there trying to figure out which one to use, you know, to fix their marriage issues, and take it home and go, now I have 50 other people's energy with me. How is that supposed to help me fix my marriage? But the problem is a lot of people don't know that they have all of that imprint on there. So that's why cleansing is so important, to remove all of that energetic debris that's on there so that they have a pure, clean vibration to work with when they start out.
Which, again, is real important because, you know, people hear, oh, yeah, I'm doing crystals, and I got this one and I got that one. And because the person doesn't know a lot, they'll go try to get mm-hmm. the same one, and it's not always going to work the same way, you know, mm-hmm. for seeing people. So it's important, I think, that people understand that there's really different things, and having it feel pretty good in your hand is one of the major ones.
Mm-hmm.
In your book, you also talk about the different colors of crystals. How does that relate, and why should people know about that?
Now, the different colors, most of the time, it corresponds with their chakras. Now, a lot of other people say, well, it corresponds with their aura alignment, too, and they really don't. Now, aura alignments, they don't have corresponding colors. People see pictures of aura alignments, and they'll have different colors, but there's actually not a color for our auras to actually heal them. Now, a lot of people have aura photographs taken, and it will show a gold color or a purple color or a green color. That's the energy that you're expressing around your body. That doesn't have to deal with the crystals that you're being, that you want to use for your healing. But they do correspond with the chakras for our body. And each chakra, of course, you know, has its own color. From even the feet chakra, a lot of people forget about the minor chakras, their feet chakras and their hand chakras and their spleen chakras, not to mention the major chakras that we have, and those all correspond with color influences. And that's why a lot of people are, well, what kind of stones can you recommend to start out with? I said, get at least 2 of all of the main colors that you need. You're going to need 2 red for your root chakra. You're going to have to balance out those survival energies and those stability energies and go all the way up. You're going to need 1s for your feet chakras, for your hand chakras. So go through all of the main colors, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, violet, brown, black, and clear, you know, and pink. Oh, of course, I can't forget pink. get at least two, because a lot of times you'll need to put them on both sides of the chakra, or you're going to have to work with one and you want the other one cleansing. You want to make sure you at least have two, because if not, then you're going to have to sit there and go, oh, now I have to run back to the store to get a red one, or I want to make sure. You always want to have at least a couple extra ones on hand.
Which I think is another very important tip, because most people wouldn't think about that. Now, you also talk about the crystal bag and what, you know, the colors that need to be in there, but you also added a few things to that, too. So what's the point of having the crystal bag?
Well, crystal bags, I have probably, I lost track of how many crystal bags I have. Crystal healing bags are really good. Whether, of course, you start out for beginners, you need the basics. It's kind of like building a first aid kit. You need Band-Aids for a first aid kit. You want to have, you know, alcohol wipes. You want to have those staples in there, especially if you don't know what you're going to be encountering in your own healing session. Now, for myself and for my work, I have multiple bags for different uses. I have bags for stones that balance out just for kid energies. I have, you know, two kids. I work on a lot of kids with distance sessions and everything. So children and animals are a big thing for my life, and I want to make sure that I have the crystals that are going to balance out their energies and their issues, as opposed to just general crystals. Now, of course, you know, I have general, you know, healing crystals for home issues. I have ones for animals. I have four dogs. So we did a lot of healing with our four animals for our animal book, and I have bags just for those. That way, I'm not always using the same stones, you know, with my kids' bags, and then I turn around and, oh, wait, I have to work on this issue with the house and pull from that. I have separate bags for separate issues. That way, it's easier. You can program the bag. You can program the bag to hold any of the crystals that are in it the same way you can program a crystal to hold all the crystals and charge it for those issues, and you can program the crystals individually. So if you're working on, you know, one of your children's issues, and you already have them all programmed to work with those issues, that eliminates a big step, plus you don't mix up your crystals on top of it, and you're already kind of prepared for any other sessions that kind of pop up into your life.
Two questions. For the programming, because you've mentioned that a couple times, that's another thing I don't think people understand, is that the crystals themselves need to be not just cleansed, but then they also need to be programmed and charged. And there's various ways of doing that. But why is that so important in order to get the crystals to work?
A lot of the crystals can be used without programming, but they're not going to have as strong of a vibrational output when you're using them. If you program a crystal, it's going to have about 10 times stronger of an output than if you just pick one up at the store, cleanse it, and put it in the same area. Now, programming is pretty much telling the crystal what you want it to do for what particular reason. And there's different ways to do it. There's, you know, and both ways are very, very easy for even the beginners to use. But the biggest concern a lot of people make with programming issues is that they won't get a vibrational match for the programming. They'll happen to pick out, we'll use a very easy example, they'll pick out an amethyst, which you use for, you know, headache issues. You use it for your third eye. You use it for crown issues. Anything with the upper part of your region for mysticism and psychic issues and intuition, people will pick it out and they'll say, okay, I want to program this to help ground. And I'm like, you can't do that. A, grounding issues and, you know, colors are brown and black and silver. And, you know, with jasper and black tourmaline and hematite and a lot of those, they will help draw your energy into the earth. If you're holding a purple stone in your hand and it has to deal with the upper part of your body, that's not going to be in any way helping you deal with the lower part of your body. But they'll sit there and they'll try and they'll put it in their hand and they'll work on it, and it'll hold it for as long as that person holds that intention in their mind. Once they stop holding that intention, it's like having two magnets. One's going to drop right off as soon as they lose focus of it. And they're like, well, why does that happen? And I said, well, your grounding issues are on a different vibrational frequency as opposed to the amethyst, which is holding a higher vibrational frequency. You can't make them match. You can force it, just like you can force two magnets to try to stay together. And you always feel that push in there, and you can force and force and force. But as soon as you let go, they pop away from each other. It's exactly what happens if you don't get the right programming for the crystal. So a lot of it is just basic background information of which colors go with which chakras, go with, you know, which general attributes, and knowing, you know, okay, the darker colors are more on the bottom and the hotter colors are more on the bottom of the body, and the pastels and the more of the, goodness, I can't think of the word, the lighter colors are more on the top part of the body, and just knowing where to place them and practicing with them too.
Can you mispractice with crystals?
Can you mispractice with crystals? In my opinion, no. The worst case that you can do is you can try and try and try and not get anywhere. And I know I've done that many times. I have. It's taken, you know, 17 years to build up thousands and thousands of tips that I know. And I've tried many, many times. And the worst case is you get frustrated. And you can't really mispractice. The only thing, the biggest concern that I ever have is if people wish to charge things, especially with water, with their crystals. A lot of the crystals out there, they have toxins in them. They'll have aluminum, they'll have zinc, they'll have toxins that if you put the crystals in the direct contact with the water, you shouldn't really take it internally. That's why in the book, it talks about charging water, and it gives three different ways of a direct charge with the water and also two indirect charges where it's not touching the water, so it's much safer for people. Now, some people believe that it has to touch the water for it to be a direct charge. For a direct charge, yes. Now, other people say if it's not touching the water, it's not going to charge it. That's not true. It's a whole state of mind that they have to understand that just because it's not in that water doesn't mean that that water is still not soaking it up. That water has a very high vibrational frequency, and so does the crystal. You put them next to each other, even if there's a barrier there of a glass bowl, it's still going to charge that water. I think that's the biggest concern of misusing crystals out there, but as in practicing, nope, a lot of it is trying and seeing what works. The tips in the book, we did over years of experience and practice and trial and error to get what's going to work for the majority of people. Not every single tip in there is going to work for every single person if they're not at a vibrational frequency match for it. But that doesn't mean that sometime later on it won't work for them. So it's a lot of, okay, this one didn't work. I'm going to try this one because this is what I feel drawn to instead.
Mm-hmm. Why do you use the glass bowls instead of like a plastic bowl?
Glass bowls, I find, have a better energy where the crystal and the water can charge in a better way. Now, that's my own preference. I've used and I've tried plastic bowls, and for the energy of the water, for the feeling of the water when you're done charging it, and for the crystal, it just doesn't seem to transmit as well as with a glass bowl. Now, again, it's my personal preference. I feel that the energy and the frequency travels much better through the glass, and when the crystal elixir is done charging, it has such a stronger frequency to it as opposed to when it's in a plastic bowl.
Okay. The other thing is when you're doing, you talked about a lot about remote healings. So when you're doing a remote healing on somebody, how do you know what crystals to use and where do you place them? How does it work?
For remote healing crystals, a lot of it depends on what their ailment is for their crystal healing. Now, if it's just a general healing, I give them generally two options. I'll say, A, you can pick the crystals and use your intuition, or B, you can let me do it. And 90% of the time, they'll say, Nicole, you pick the crystals. Occasionally, they don't, though. But a lot of it, it's working with my own intuition. I will focus on the person. I'll focus on, generally, they'll send pictures, they'll send names, they'll send birth dates, and I'll focus on that and the crystals that come to mind that pop up. Now, with a lot of that, I do my work in a meditation trance-like state, and mine is done on an energy grid, at an energy level. Other people will use proxies. They'll have stuffed animals. They'll attach a person's name to it. They'll surround it with, you know, the certain crystals for the different areas, and they'll do their healing that way. I do mine on an energy grid. Takes it a little bit further up there, and then I use all of my different etheric crystals that I've received in attunements, which gives me so much more access to even the crystals that I have physically on hand. And not only can I do that, but then we also can place them within the person's own energy field and their physical body. If they're having problems with their organs, take an energetic crystal, it's like a picture in the person's mind, and actually place it within that organ and program it so that it only stays there for as long as the person needs. Because a lot of the clients will say, well, what if I ever want them removed? I'd say, A, we can program it for as long as you want. You know, if you want it for 30 days, 60, 90 days, you know, a year. Or B, we can program it until you no longer have that issue, and then the crystal, the energy will dissolve right out of your energy field and be released from your aura.
Would you, I think the second one works better, but that's my personal preference.
Me too, but I always give the clients the option because a lot of times they'll say, well, what if it never goes away? And I said, well, it's up to you. You can pick at your session.
Yeah, which is, and people, I find, Nicole, are very, they'd rather have the person that really knows what they're doing do the picking. So in their mind, they don't make a mistake. That's why I ask if there's mistakes that can be made. You talked about just now how your attunement with crystals, and those are the ones that you use. Can you explain that process to the listeners, please?
Attunements for crystals, now, they're pretty much the same as regular Reiki attunements. They were channeled in by old Gabrielson, I believe I said his name correctly. There's actually 12 different levels for them, and they can be taken in three sets for each individual one. And each level gives, what happens is the person's energy field is then attuned to the actual physical vibrational properties of the crystals for each attunement session. So let's use, for example, we'll pick some out of thin air with emeralds and peridot and rose quartz and clear quartz. All of those vibrational frequencies during the energy session is going to be transmitted onto the person's energetic field. So then once they go through their own integration period of this energy work, they then can call upon the energy at any time, whether they're doing a session locally, they're doing a session remotely, they're doing it with a proxy, they're doing it in a meditation session. They can use crystals without them physically being in their hands. Now, these are really good, especially when you're doing remote sessions, if you can go into deep trance type of work that I do, or if you have people that, A, you don't have the crystals, or B, you have like children or animals that you can't physically put the crystals on, or the crystals will roll around and you don't want the, you know, the animal to chew on it or something, you can also put them within their energy field. So if they have a heart issue, you can actually place it on their heart organ. You can ask it and call upon the energy and ask it to be placed right there to heal that area for as long as, you know, the person wants or until the problem is gone. And they're so much easier to work with. A, you don't have to have the physical crystal. So if I'm out running errands with my children and my child gets hurt and I have to have a crystal on hand and I don't have one, they're really good to use. You can use them any day, anytime, anywhere, for any reason. The hardest part is remembering all the different crystals that you can be attuned to and remembering all the different attributes. That's probably one of the biggest things that I have students coming up and saying, well, I can't remember them all, because there are 12 different levels and there are multiple crystals. There's probably 12 to 15 crystals for each different level. And with learning all of those, I said, take it one step at a time. Once you remember all of the crystals for level one, work on level two, then work on level three. It's a step process. It's not an overnight process. But these are so easy to use, and it's also really easy even for beginners to work with, because they don't have to have and go out to the store and buy 20 different crystals if they don't want to. Or they can't find it at the store, or they can't find that vibrational match for them, they can still have the energy of that healing process.
Which, again, is very important. When you're doing the healing process on them in person, let's put it that way, in person, not remotely, but while they're with you, where do you place the crystals at?
Depends on each session. Now, if it's just a general session, and we'll take, you know, chakra use, for example, you place them on opposite sides of the area of the chakras. Now, if it's for something, you know, more as they have a headache. Generally, I don't have too many coming in for headaches. Migraines, yes, but headaches, no. You place them on opposite sides of the head and one above the crown. It's all about placement to get it where the area is at. Now, if you're having, you know, of course, migraine headaches, you're not going to place crystals generally around the person's feet unless they have a problem with grounding in their headaches. It's about finding out what the person's problem is, what their ailment is, and what the root cause of it is. A lot of people will get the book, and they'll go through it, and they'll say, well, you have three different things listed in there. You'll have one for money, Nicole, and then you have one for a career and one for, you know, financial success, and how do I know what to use? I said, you have to get the root core of the problem. If you're focusing on money and it's not about your career, then you have to hit the nail on the head with money. If it's about your career and about money, go for the career first because you're already focusing on career and seeing the career's not drawing in the money. It's all about finding that root cause. Once you have the root cause down, then you go and work on a placement for the crystals. But without that, you could be placing the crystals in a gazillion different directions and it's not going to do. It'll do a little bit of good, but it won't hit it as well as if you put it in the right area for a good length of time.
Good. Would you give out your website and the name of your book again and tell them where they can get your books?
Absolutely. The website is www.healingartforms.com. The name of the book is Practical Crystal Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques. They can get autographed copies through our website. Those take about a week or so to send out. They can also find it on Amazon.com. It's also on Barnes & Noble. And it's also on AuthorHouse.com, who we publish through.
Great. Now, here's a big question. Everybody, I'm sure, who is listening is waiting for me to ask. And you just touched on it just a couple minutes ago, because everybody today is worried about their job, the economy, and money. So what crystals would you suggest for the people to get to help bring in whatever one you choose to talk about first?
Well, I think probably the biggest two that we give out in the seminars, and everyone's had success with these, so for everyone listening, for those that really want to draw this in, you can do both, and it creates a really good energy field around everything that you use them with. Money one, actually I think we'll start with abundance. Abundance is really fun to work with. And kids can even do this. And this one, we came up and we hit the nail on the head with this one, oh gosh, about 5 years ago, when we were working through abundance issues and our own family and work and everything like that. You take emeralds, and if you charge them in the water. Now, these you can put directly in the water. Now, I leave mine out in a spray bottle because you can go around and spray your home with this elixir once you make it. I put mine in a spray bottle and put it outside in the sun. So, A, it not only gets a charge with the water, it also gets a charge with the direct sunlight. You have to be careful, though. You don't. If you're worried about your crystals fading, I wouldn't suggest putting them in the sun. But with mine, I have certain crystals, especially for this one, so that's why I leave them out there. You let it charge. I let mine charge for 24 hours. Once you come in, you spritz, and you spray lightly, mind you, very mist lightly, around your entire home. Or if it's an office, if you wish to do the office, just be very careful with electronic devices. But especially go around doorways, go around windows, anything with openings to the outside world where you want to draw more abundance back into your life, go around all of the corners. And my kids have fun with this. This is their fun one they like to do with mommy because they will be drenching my entire house with this one. And they go around, and it really increases the vibrational output for abundance. Now, the best one that we've ever hit and we've ever came up with was money. And worked on this one for years until we came across how it worked with money. You need a piece of pyrite. Any kind of pyrite will do. I personally have natural pyrite. Any kind of pyrite will do, though. You want to make sure it's nice and cleansed. You don't want any dust on it, especially if it's natural. You want to make sure it's nice and ready for you. And we did this years ago, and I did it on a fluke. I took a dollar bill, and I wrapped a dollar bill around it, and I wanted to see what would happen because I knew it had a vibrational frequency for money. And I started coming across dollar bills all over the place. And everybody thinks I was really crazy, but it really did happen. And I would find them on the floor, at the store, in my home, in my car, everywhere I went, there were dollar bills all over the place. And it was a really interesting experiment. And I kept that one, and we kept playing around with it. And the most recent one we did, I introduced the work with my children, of course, you know, kids even want money nowadays. And everybody has a change jar at home, and we did it. I told my husband, so we're going to put it in the change jar and see what happens. Now, as long as you have a good opening for your change jar, you don't want one that has a cap on it. You want to make sure it still has plenty of energy flow. We put it in there, left it there, and about a week we had about $20 worth of change show up all over the place. And not just the typical, you know, change in the couch cushions or, you know, once in a while you find a penny. We got $20 in a week just with change. And my kids were floored. They're putting pyrite with all of their money all over the place. But the trick with pyrite and money, you want to make sure that you put it with a positive source of money. I had a client that did it, and she put it with her credit cards because to her that was money. And all she did was get more increases on her credit cards, which then in turn she spent more, which then in turn she was in more debt. And I said, you have to put it with a positive source of money. Whatever that is to you, whether it's change, it's dollar bills, something, put it in your purse, your wallet, carry it in your pocket, something like that. I had another client that said, oh, I wonder if it worked with your $1 bill. I'm going to try it with a $100 bill and see if I can get $100 bills coming at me. I said, if you ever do and it works, let me know. That's one I've never tried. But you want to make sure it's with a good, positive form of money. And give it about at least a week for it to start coming in. Sometimes, depending on how much of the negativity is built up within your life, it can take up to 2 weeks. But generally, within a week to 2 weeks, you're going to start seeing that money flow coming in.
I think everybody's going, oh, man, now where do I go out and get one of these gems? Can they order the gems from you, or do they go to a rock gem store?
They would need to go to a rock jeweler store, most metaphysical, crystal, even some health food stores in local towns, even on eBay or any other online, you know, crystal sellers. You can find pyrite pretty much anywhere for a really decent price, you know, only a dollar or two generally depending on the area, for, you know, a little piece of it for yourself. And carry it around, put it with some change, put it in their pocket with their money, and see what happens.
Now, the other thing that you talked about was meditation. How important is meditation when you're working with the crystals?
I feel in my own personal work that it's very important, but it's also important I use it for my own intuition and developing and keeping increasing that. A lot of people, they have a hard time meditating, and they ask, do I have to meditate? No, you don't have to. It's always good, even if you can't meditate, sit down, put on some calming music, listen to, there's tons of CDs out there that, you know, have rainwater or, you know, ocean waves or even Tibetan singing bowls on them, and listen to it and close their eyes and just work with their crystals. Put their crystals in their hands and hold them and just sit and focus. Even if they can't meditate, focus with them. The more they do it, the more practice they get, the better they're going to get with them.
All right, let's give out your website again, please, in the name of your book.
Yes, www.healingartforms.com. And the book name is Practical Crystal Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques.
Do you have any classes coming up, like, in the real near future?
Right now, for seminars, we do not. We are going to be scheduling ones out in New Mexico and Arizona and Washington and Oregon all along the West Coast. We're going to be having a whole bunch coming up come June and July, so they can check back. They are on our seminar page on our website, and they'll list the dates and the places and costs and everything if they'd like to come and have an in-person seminar lecture.
Where are you going to be in New Mexico?
Santa Fe and Albuquerque, I believe, is where we're shooting for right now.
Okay. You don't have, like I said, location yet?
No, we don't.
Okay. I was just curious because I live 23 miles south of Albuquerque.
Oh, wow. How wonderful. So, we're shooting for Albuquerque and Santa Fe right now. All of our schedules got a little postponed from all of these energy shifts, especially with this latest one before the spring solstice, and everything got pushed back a little bit. But late spring into summer, we are going to be back on the road traveling. And by then, we'll even have our new books out for our animal companions and pregnancy and children and possibly even the teen one, too.
Okay, great. Now, we only have about a minute left. So in this minute, what do you think of all the hype about 2012?
All the hype about 2012 is a big energy shift. Everyone thinks the world is coming to an end. My personal opinion, it's a huge energy shift. Everyone is going to be going up on the ascension ladder. And there's really, it's not, the whole world is not going to end. It's going to create a big awareness within everyone, and everything's going to be changing so much more, so that all of these things are going to be more in the forefront of everyone's mind, so that these children out there do have something more to look forward to in their life and their creation, too.
And I agree 100% with that. Anyway, our time is actually up, Nicole. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. It has been very enlightening, and I'm sure all the listeners will agree with that. And everybody's going to run out there and get their pyrite, you'll see.
I bet they will. Thank you so much, Nancy, for having me.
You're very welcome. You take care.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Pick up her book. Go on her website. Find out all about it. Take care, and we'll talk next time. Bye now.